Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci will run first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open!
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
We are broadcasting live from the Great Grizzly Bear in Soulard. This building is 100 years old. Bill Stack is the owner, general manager, and a former football player at the University of Missouri in the good old days with Warren Powers. We got to get Bill on here sometime today, and he can tell us about Howard Richards, and if he had some collisions with Howard during practice. But, Brian, what piqued my interest was the one-pound triple cheeseburger for $9.95.
Yes, they have they call it the Papa Bear burger, and they have the Mama Bear burger, which is a half pound for, I think, $8.95, which means just based on value, you have to go with the Papa Bear. You get twice burger for a dollar more.
So come on by and say hello. We're in Soulard. Good program lined up for you today. Doug Armstrong's going to join us at 11. Anthony Bonner is going to join us at 11:40. I'm going to run to the Blues Skate at about 10:35, and that's when Chris Kerber and Brian will discuss Blues hockey. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Gateway Motorsports Park, and let's begin with lap one. So another Tuesday night like no other Tuesday night. How does it get any better on a weeknight than facing the team closest to you in proximity and in the standings? The Preds played a big game last night against the Oilers, and here's how the ending sounded.
Ty Ratty for the Oilers. Rene determined. Here comes Ratty. He makes the save! The Predators win!
So that means, as we speak, the Blues trail by 7 points.
6 points, because Nashville usurped Winnipeg last night.
Oh my goodness!
With the win,
so it's 6 points, and then the thing with Nashville is they've played three more games. So now we're just going to work on Winnipeg, who's actually played how many more games? Let's see. They would be at, what do you got there, Brian?
Let's see, looking that up now. I know Winnipeg hasn't played especially well in recent weeks as well. The Blues have played the same amount of games as the Winnipeg Jets.
Okay, so we're down six and down seven. Maybe it's still easier to catch Nashville because of the difference in games. All right, interesting how the teams played it at the deadline, too. Blues went modestly. A sixth-rounder for Michael Del Zotto, former first-round pick, steady guy who's had an unsteady career. This is his sixth team, and he's 28 years old. And the Blues do have depth issues on the back line with some injuries, so what the heck? A sixth-round pick is not going to help you anyway, so why not make the move? This guy is a solid defenseman when he's healthy. But Nashville went for broke like few other teams. Wayne Simmons from the Flyers, who's played in an all-star game. Mikael Granlund from the Wild, really gifted offensively. These two have combined for 31 goals this season. So Nashville really improves themselves at the deadline. Now the Blues can counter with, you know, David Perron, who's going to be on the ice here in about 20 minutes, is getting closer and closer. I got to tell you what, though. This Braden Schenn injury is troubling. Losing this guy is significant. We don't discuss it enough because this version of Jaden Schwartz, you know, on that top line, he's not Braden Schenn, I'll tell you that. All right, lap two. But the Blues have Jordan Binnington and the Predators don't. And that could be the difference in tonight's game. Don't get me wrong. Pecorini is a really good player. But I wonder right now, February 2019, March 2019, who would you rather have? Maybe Binnington cools down. But, boy, you just can't ignore these stats. 14-2-1 as a starter. He leads the league in save percentage. .934, and in goals against, 1.70. Maybe the bubble will burst for Binnington, or maybe he's just special. He has changed the team. He has changed the town. He's changed the tone of the town. Lap three. So, the Robert Kraft story and saga continues. Now, I think to fully appreciate where we are now, you got to remember where we were just a week ago with Robert Kraft. Wasn't he considered not only the best owner in the NFL, but one of the very best owners in the history of professional sports? Six Super Bowls, and not just winning. I mean, Steinbrenner won a lot, but he was a horse's A. Great relationships with his stars. I mean, if you read some of the scribes up in New England and they write these provocative articles about Belichick and Brady not getting along, well, you know who was like the liaison who got along with both, who made sure both would work and it didn't blow up like it did in St. Louis when we had, you know, John, I want to live in L.A., Shaw, when this thing was self-destructing here? It was this guy. It was Bob Kraft. Well, this is not going to end well. It isn't. I think with as vigilant as the NFL has been in penalizing people lately, I think that he's probably going to be done in New England. I think his son's going to slide into that position. As for the latest on Robert Kraft and the legal issues, let's go to this report from NBC News.
New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft at the airport in Boston today, joined by Tom Brady. Kraft returning from Los Angeles after being spotted by TMZ Sports at a pre-Oscars party. Meantime, in Florida, an arrest warrant was issued for the 77-year-old, charging Kraft with two counts of soliciting another to commit prostitution. If convicted, the billionaire, along with two dozen others who were part of this takedown, could be sentenced to a year in jail. Today, officials releasing graphic details of Kraft's alleged sexual encounters at the massage parlor, one on the same day as the AFC Championship. On Friday, a spokesman for Kraft said, "We categorically deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity." Today, the NFL released a new statement promising to handle this allegation in the same way we would handle any issue under the league's personal conduct policy.
Are the clients unwittingly supporting the possibility of human trafficking?
The alleged Johns are enabling this criminal conduct to occur of human trafficking. They are fueling it with their dollars.
This is not about lonely old men or victimless crimes. This is about enabling a network of criminals to traffic women into our country, forced labor and sex.
Prosecutors confident in their case that they say has disturbing video evidence highlighting a serious problem. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Palm Beach County, Florida.
Wow. Yeah, there's no way. He's not going to be allowed to be the owner of the Patriots. He's done. He's absolutely done, I believe. And you know what's going to happen is this video is going to be everywhere. I mean, like initially when the Ray Rice situation came out, well, there was no video. There was video eventually. And there's going to be video here. I'm surprised it hasn't even popped up yet, Brian.
I'll take the FBI's word for what happened. I don't need to see the video.
Yeah. Oh, we don't want to see it. But it's going to be there. And it's going to be humiliating. It really is. All right, lap four. So let's take you through the timeline. Yesterday morning in The Athletic, Peter Gammons, Hall of Fame reporter, reported that Carlos Martinez's injury was going to keep him out until late June, I guess. So we had the general manager of the Cardinals on, and I asked him specifically about the Gammons report.
Mr. Gammons is a great reporter, but I don't know where he got July. July is not on anybody's radar right now. So Carlos is shut down for a couple weeks to no throw to strengthen his shoulder, and then we'll get him back going and take him at the pace that makes sense, but we're not looking nearly that far into the future.
Then Mark Saxon reports this morning, Carlos Martinez's right arm is now in a sling. Not sure what that means medically, but this thing is not trending well. Then Rob Raines, who was at the Mike Schilt presser, says that Carlos Martinez got a shot in right shoulder yesterday. We'll spend next 2 weeks strengthening shoulder and will be reevaluated then. Martinez news means he will not have enough time left this spring to be in rotation with the Cardinals when season opens. Bullpen still possible. So, what we should get out of this whole saga is this. Carlos Martinez is not going to get 32 starts. He may not get 22 starts, and you should not rely on him. The guy who was on the disabled list three different times last year will likely not be ready from the get-go. And I appreciate Michael Gersh for being a part of the program. And I appreciate the fact that they've taken care of a very deserving Jose Martinez. Let's take a listen to Gersh yesterday on why the two-year contract.
So Jose had a unique career. He was in the minor leagues for so long. He's in a spot where he was not arbitration eligible this year. But, you know, he's at a spot where he still never made a ton of money in baseball. And we felt like the right thing to do was to offer him a possibility of a way to make some money, guarantee some money for next year, which would have been his first arbitration year. And guarantee that, so he knows he's going to make, you know, a few million dollars out of this. And in exchange, you know, we sort of agree now what an arbitration number for next year would have been. And so there's a little bit of, you know, guarantee for him, but a little bit of upside for us, where if he ends up getting 500 plate appearances, or if he ends up having a big season, we've already guaranteed the salary for next year and don't have to worry about what the arbitration number moves to. So, again, he's such a good guy. He's so well-liked in the clubhouse. He's worked his butt off. He's done everything we've asked of him. He's moved positions. He's gone from, you know, leading our team in hitting to being told he's going to be a fourth outfielder and no longer play first base, and has gone along with everything. We just felt like there was a situation where if we could reach an agreement, we'd like to take care of him a little bit.
So a big couple of days in spring training. Yesterday you had the 25-pitch BP, live BP of Alex Reyes, where Mike Schilt said it was so good he was cackling to himself. That's impressive. Can you imagine, you know, watching Reyes throw 97 and Schilt's just back there kind of laughing to himself? Man, this is great. Then today against the Nats, it's Waino time, 37 years of age, attempting to do something rarely done. Come back at that age and be effective. Wish I could watch this one. We'll have highlights on Channel 5. We have a photographer down there today watching it. My take is, if he had three bad starts in a row, he likely would not get a chance to get a fourth, if they're really bad starts. And who knows, he may shock the world. This morning, Mike Schilt said emphatically, he's in the rotation. You know, it's interesting, for a staff that is as deep as the Cardinals, they also have so many question marks in that rotation. Okay, so we already know Carlos Martinez is not healthy. We know that Adam Wainwright has not been a 30-start guy for years. We know that Michael Wacha gets injured a lot. And the two you're counting on the most are Miles Michaelis and Jack Flaherty. But you have options, and that Reyes performance yesterday was good. Maybe John Gant. We'll find out. All right. Lap 5. Non-sports thought of the day. Conversations and women. We've brought this up before, but we have another chapter in this never-ending book. Now, if Monique and I were to have a skills competition on life in general and all the characteristics of a good person, she would win 10 to nothing. I want to set that up like this. But with that said, I don't know how they talk for so long. True story. Friday night, four of her high school friends arrive at 6:30 at the house. One brings food, another brings dessert. They all have drinks. So I leave the house at 6:45 to go have a calzone and a beer with a buddy at the new Kimalls. I come back at 8:30, and they have not moved. So that's two solid hours, and they're still talking. I take the dogs with me, and we go watch The Sopranos in the bedroom. I come out at 11:30. They had not moved. So I'm slicing up a little turkey for Jack, Ted, and myself, and I'm watching them. And two of them are right across the table from each other, and they're just talking really loudly and quick. The other three were deep in another conversation, and they were just as loud and just as quick, too. And I'm like 10 feet away from them, and I'm thinking, how are they all so loud? How can they talk to each other so loud and so close? And we're talking about two separate conversations. I almost got a headache just watching this thing. And then at midnight, when he comes into the bedroom, 5.5 hours later. Now, keep in mind, this is five women not moving, not watching a game, and not really eating, but wall-to-wall conversations that didn't end. There wasn't that awkward pause or lull. Just heavy conversations about feelings, issues, husbands, kids, jobs. I mean, it's really amazing. I'm not being critical, but what a species they are. 5.5 hours of solid conversation. It just stuns me. All right, lap six. Back to sports. If you get a chance, you got to watch this Yuri Collins from St. Mary's play a game. I've been told by people, well, I think he's the best point guard in St. Louis in the last 30 years. So last night we sent a photographer. I said, don't worry about the game. Just shoot Yuri. Okay? Just shoot Yuri. So he comes back with the highlights. I go through this 25-minute tape. It's insane. This guy is unbelievable. The way he passes the ball. He had 22 points, but he had 9 assists. And I'm telling you, 7 of the 9 assists that I saw were like highlight film, no look, rush hour traffic, over his head. Just unbelievable. And that leads me to SLU, because he will be a Billiken next year. What he has is what SLU doesn't have, is a high basketball IQ. What he does is what SLU doesn't have, a pure point guard who distributes the ball. I don't know if he's a great shooter yet, but you know what? I don't even care. I think if they surround him with enough shooters, man, he's going to be fun to watch. And I think, let me double check this, but they play again on Thursday night at St. Mary's. I checked the post for a time on that, but he's one of the best shows in town. And it leads me to this, as we talk about point guards in the St. Louis area, who is your, in your mind, who's the best point guard you ever saw? I'm talking about pure point guard, not player. I don't consider Larry Hughes a point guard, although he played a little bit of that in the NBA. He's more of a two and sometimes a three. You know who would be up there is a guy that we've had in studio recently and a McDonald's All-American, Ryan Robertson from St. Charles West. I know Floyd Irons listens to all of our programs, and I think Floyd would say, yeah, he'd be up there. Floyd had some good ones too, but Joel Shelton more of a shooting guard, Jimmy McKinney more of a two. We had a great one at DeSmet named Mark Alcorn, who went to LSU, who passed away. But best pure point guard you have seen in St. Louis. Love to get your response on that. Billiken's got a big one tonight at VCU, who probably the best team in the conference, and a team that may get to the NCAA tournament, even if they don't win the Atlantic 10 tournament in Brooklyn in a couple of weeks. So, all right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. What could you do for 5.5 hours besides watch two games? I'm impressed that these ladies can talk that long. Are you impressed with what the Blues did yesterday, or are you worried that Nashville really beefed up and the Blues didn't? How about Alex Reyes? How about Adam Wainwright? Your confidence level in Wainwright getting 25 starts this year. What do you think? Have you seen Yuri Collins and your favorite all-time point guard in the St. Louis area? So we're broadcasting live from the Great Grizzly Bear in Soulard. Come on by and get one of the specials, and that is the one-pound triple cheese, the Papa Bear Burger for under $10 with fries. That's a great deal. Or you can have the Mama Burger, which is a half pound. Love to get your take on some of these items. When we come back, we're going to visit with Chris Kerber. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan.